Om Shanti. Actually, the moment you step into Madhuban, you feel like you've come to a different world, right? In fact, Pandav Bhavan, Shantivan, Kyan Sarovar, all of it is Madhuban. I spent a few days in Shantivan before coming up yesterday. But I have to say, as soon as I arrived, even entering Mount Abu, there is a different feeling. And then of course, when I arrived in Pandav Bhavan, definitely the sense that there is something unique and something magical here. And this is why we come, right, to Madhuban. There was a time when the dadis were so easily accessible. There was a time when we had a meeting. Well, in my early days, we had personal meetings with Avyat Bap Dada. And right at the beginning when I come, almost every time I came, I had a one-to-one meeting with Avyat Bap Dada. And then it became just one meeting during your time here in Madhuban. And then, of course, even that stopped and it became a group meeting. And then even that stopped and it was just in a big gathering. And as these changes occur, for me, coming to Madhuban is still just as important as it was in those days. I never feel, well, the daddies are not so easily accessible. Bap Dada is not coming anymore. Why bother going? Perhaps, though, what I have an advantage over is the fact that my roots are in Bharat. So I love coming to Bharat itself. And I also think, though, that for every Brahmin, to keep touching base with Bharat is a very important aspect of a deeper realization about our own journey. Because I always think that coming to Bharat, you see life the way Baba describes it in the Murali. When Baba talks about hell, this is really hell. India, Bharat. In the sense that life is so raw. Life is exactly as you see it. You know, in the early days, we were talking about this just a few days ago, in fact, with some newer ones. That early days when we used to come, we would come by train from Delhi. And it would be either an overnight train usually, but you were still traveling early in the morning and you'd see people lined up at the railway tracks, you know, going to the bathroom or taking their bucket bath. And all of that right before your eyes. Nothing is happening behind closed doors. Everything is happening right in front of you. You have to be cautious about the people that you're in the carriage with, on the train, because you just don't know what their intentions are going to be. All of those kinds of things. And so when Mama talks about the world being hell, you really have the sense that this is hell. I see a lot of people from the Far East, and I actually, funnily enough, don't have so much of a connection with the Far East. I'm more towards the USA and South America, and that part I have a lot more connection with. So perhaps it's the same where you are too, in the East, more so than in the Western world, probably. But yet there is something in the air here when they say that in the 60s people came to Bharat, especially to look for spirituality, because they sensed something. And I also have the same sense these days that, I always have had the sense that there's something in the air of spirituality in Bharat. And my special attention these days particularly is that whilst Bharata is a land of bhakti, land of rituals, land of everything is very tangible, and yet I know that everything has a meaning and a purpose behind all the rituals and worship. And so to what I strive to do is get a sense of the subtle vibration and energy that we're trying to generate, that we're also trying to tap into in everything that happens physically, that all that we do in a physical, gross way, what is the vibration, the energy that we are tapping into, as well as what we're trying to generate for ourselves and for everyone else as well. And Madhuban is a real example, I think, of that aspect where you are able to, you know, actually almost see the vibration, touch and feel. Vibration and energy in Madhuban almost is as if it has a color, it has a texture. And why it is that we feel so connected when we come here is that spirituality is really manifested right before our eyes. And therefore it becomes very easy for us to also tap into what is inside our own selves. I remember the first time I came to Madhuban, and I didn't come as someone who had made a decision to be a BK. I had heard I was starting to go to morning class because my mother was going, and I sent something, and it was a time when people were coming back from Madhuban and sharing their experiences, and you know, everybody shares their experiences of Madhuban, incredibly powerful and beautiful. So since I was just starting to go to class once or twice a week, I thought, well, that sounds interesting, I want to go and see it. I hadn't committed, as I said, to a BK life. And I remember coming to Madhuban, even on the way I'm asking the question, what is soul consciousness? What does it mean to be soul conscious? And I remember everybody I spoke to was attempting to explain to me what soul consciousness was. But it was very interesting. The moment I set foot in Madhuban, and of course in those days it was only Pandav Bhavan, there was no Suktam, no Om Shanti Bhavan, nothing was there. So it was only Pandav Bhavan. And I remember setting foot, and this deep sense of joy had come over me. And as I interacted with the Madhuban Nivasis, it was then that I realized that actually soul consciousness is what I was seeing. I was seeing soul consciousness demonstrated right in front of my eyes, through the quality of interactions, through the love that I felt from them. Of course there were the Dadis, and of course there was Avyakt Bhaktada. All of that somehow, it of course was wonderful. But in this aspect of soul consciousness, I sensed that this is what soul consciousness was. Interactions and qualities of the soul being demonstrated to me. Love, joy, peace, all of those things demonstrated to me was the experience of soul consciousness. And of course there's the other aspects of soul consciousness, but to really sense this, that I can feel the love from the people that I'm interacting with. Not to mention the fact that as if I'd always known these people. I was meeting them for the first time, but it wasn't the sense that I was meeting them for the first time. There was somehow a purity and an innocence in the interaction that made me feel as if I was meeting them for the first time. As if no baggage. Anyway, when you meet people, there is no baggage for the first time. But yet it went even beyond that. So really, why I'm telling you this is if you had to say one, two, maybe three aspects of Madhuban that you could really pinpoint are unique. Well, not quite unique in the sense that we are all capable of the very same that we experience in Madhuban. But what are two, perhaps three aspects of Madhuban that don't exist anywhere else in the world? That don't give you, that you don't have an instant sense of when you go somewhere. And I think it's the same anywhere, in the sense that we don't experience this aspect of Madhuban anywhere else. You do experience it in Baba's homes, in centers as well. But here, we're absorbed in that. What do you think those things, those aspects might be? Sorry? Powerful vibrations. Yeah. I was thinking of that as one of the things, but I was thinking more atmosphere. Baba talks about the fact that the quality that we as Brahmins have to have is to be able to create an atmosphere. An atmosphere makes everything happen, enables everything happen. And Madhuban, yes, is a place that has atmosphere, a vibration, and an energy. That is not to say that it doesn't exist anywhere else. As I said, Baba said all of us have to learn to create the atmosphere. But of course, the uniqueness of Madhuban atmosphere is that we all consciously remember and know that this is the place and land when Brahma Baba himself was present. And therefore, Shiv Baba came in the body of Brahma. And so, the energy, you know, well, perhaps we talk about it somehow nowadays too, but in those days, in the early days when I came, you felt as if every particle in Madhuban had the sense of vibration and atmosphere and energy of God's presence. And so it's true that Baba's vibrations are very much present here. So this is one thing that is definitely helpful to us here. And in order to generate that atmosphere, there are many elements. If you were to create a mind map, you would put atmosphere in the middle, and then you'd have all sorts of different aspects of that that creates the atmosphere, right? Which is company, which is the study that we do, which is the discipline that we're able to stick to, which is there's nothing worldly that distracts us when we're in Madhuban because we're immersed in this atmosphere. And so there is a lot of focus. We have this company where everybody has one goal, only one goal, and that is to stay close to Baba. Everyone here, everyone who comes to Madhuban has this purest desire to experience full consciousness, to experience Baba's company, to experience Baba's love. And we carry no agenda here. We don't have our karmic baggage that we carry with ourselves here. There isn't anyone here. Even if you are here with someone with whom... Am I speaking too fast for the translators? Should I slow down? Yes, okay. I have to remember, just knock on the window a little bit if I forget. So all of these different aspects help us stay focused. Then there's the discipline. Waking up very early in the morning, often people are inspired to get up at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock and all of that. And you can do that here. Because you don't have to go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning, right? Mostly, probably everybody here has to go for lakhic work, right? And so, you have to think about the food beforehand. You have to get ready. You also have to think about the students that are going to come at the end of the day when you get back. Or whatever it is that you have to do. The has all of that. But here, none of that is there. So there's the help of a lot of different aspects here in Madhuban. And that helps us create our stage. Of course, there are the classes. The routine of Madhuban is actually, if you follow it, it's quite balanced. Again, when we came in the early days, we used to have the routine and we used to follow it. The routine of Amrit Vela. And then after Amrit Vela, we would go to the kitchen to do Karma Yoga. Here, nowadays, I don't know if it happens. Does it happen? Do people go nowadays? We were encouraged to go for Karma Yoga after Amrit Vela. And then we'd come to class and then we'd have breakfast. And then it was again time for Karma Yoga, if you wanted to. Usually in the kitchen, because it's the place there's always something to do, right? Either to clean the grains or chop vegetables, or if you are mothers and you wanted to roll chapatis, whatever, anything. All of that was possible. I think nowadays there are so many sevadharis that come to Madhuban, we don't get announcements, you know, every day. Whoever wants to do Karma Yoga, please go for Karma Yoga. So we used to have this routine of yoga, jnana, dharana. Dharana was at that time tested because you were doing Karma Yoga. How much perseverance did you have? How much tolerance did you have? All of that. And then, of course, it was time for a class again, and then lunch and rest. In fact, actually, in those days, we hardly went into the village. Nowadays, the village trips are quite kind of common. But do you remember, Moni? We didn't go to the village very much at all. I mean, even today, I'm not lucky. I don't consider it to be lucky if I have the need to go to the village, but I don't normally have the need to go to the village. So I actually rarely go to the village. If you ever spot me, it's a rare occasion. So we were very insular in this atmosphere. And so you kind of sense the power through all of these things. And so to be attentive to what it is that we're experiencing and what is it that is causing the experience to happen from outside of me, and what is it that I am doing inside myself to allow the experience to happen. Remember that both of these things have to be present at all times. It's only when we think that the experience is coming because I'm in Madhuban, Madhuban is so good, Madhuban is wonderful. It is all of those things. But I must make sure while I'm here that that's not the only thing that's creating my experience. It is contributing to my experience. And if it's the only thing, then I will love it. I will enjoy it. And while it's present, it's great. But when that's not there, Baba often talks about they go down the mountain and it's finished. Right? Why? Why does it finish? It finishes because there hasn't been the attentiveness to my contribution to creating an experience. My engagement and notice, be deliberate about your engagement. Notice the effort that you are putting into it, the experience. Notice, make a list, if you like, actually. I suggest before you leave this time, most of you are leaving, you make a list of all the things that you do in Madhuban that are different from what you do at home. And that's not just the physical things that you do different, but what is it that makes you think differently? What is the attitude that you have here? Has to be there. all of these different elements have to be present for us. If it's only outside-in experience, in the sense that it's only because I'm in Madhuban, my stage is good. Madhuban is a big contributing factor to my experience. Big contributing factor. But there are lots of different other aspects that you yourself generate which help you create the experience. But the other thing I also wanted to mention that we experience here is belonging. This is something that the soul wants to experience so deeply and profoundly. In the world outside, there isn't any experience of belonging. We have to work so hard at creating this feeling of belonging. You might meet someone who gives you the experience and a sense of belonging, but everything else creeps in and the feeling is lost as well. What happens when you experience belonging? When you experience belonging, what happens to you, inside you? It's a question. You can give an answer if you want to. Security, you feel safe. Belonging creates a feeling of safety. What else? Something even more fundamental than that. Sorry, I can't hear. Freedom. Yeah. Family. I think in a state of belonging, you experience your innocence. Innocence is a very interesting aspect. In Kali Yuga, in body consciousness, there is no innocence. We're constantly on guard. We're constantly looking out to keep ourselves protected, safe. Whereas belonging actually takes us to a place of purity. Innocence is an aspect of purity. And purity here in Madhuban, you're not afraid of anything. So yes, somebody mentioned safety, security. But that comes because of our feeling of belonging, purity, innocence, and trust. And trust in what? Not necessarily each other, that's a secondary factor. But the trust that we experience here is first in one's own self. And then because of Baba, we experience, trust in Baba, trust in God, and then trust in everybody else. And it is true that safety, that belonging is essential. Innocence is an essential part of our spiritual growth. Very essential part of our spiritual growth. Because it allows us to tap into the beauty and truth about our own selves. And what creates that feeling of safety together with trust is that there is an unconscious sense of surrender unconscious. I'm not kind of going, okay, right, I surrender. But where there is trust, there is an unconscious sense of surrender. I don't need to worry about anything. I don't need to. But Baba is there. Daddies are there. Madhuban is there. Everything is going to be okay. Everything is good. There is a feeling of certainty in the moment. That it's certain that there is love here. It is certain that you will wake up in the morning tomorrow at Amrit Vela with enthusiasm and joy. It is certain that Baba is providing everything for you. Because it's happening, literally, practically. But imagine being able to carry that same feeling when you're back home. That God is providing everything for me. And I've tasted that in Madhuban. Creating this sense of generating it for yourself. That God can make anything happen for me. Because I belong to Him and I am His child. So, consciously paying attention to this. And of course, when we go back home, all our karmic accounts come up to face us, right? All the things that don't work, all the people that press our buttons, all the situations that are press our buttons at that time. That's when I have to be again conscious and deliberate about my response. Every single day, to bring to the forefront of your mind the sweetness and the taste of innocence that you experienced here in Madhuban. So when you go back home, every single day, to bring that to the forefront of your mind. Because if we forget, then it's a fact. There might be some effect of it. But you know, the amazing thing about Gyan is that Baba is making our intellect very sharp and clean and clear on the basis of Gyan. And because of this, I have to use my intellect. And I use my intellect for my spiritual effort. To pay attention to my mind and to pay attention to my sanskars, to pay attention to the quality of my interactions. This is where the intellect is useful. But also knowing that falling back, forgetting, not being able to keep up in the way that we had kept up in Madhuban is all inevitable aspect of life, of transformation. I don't know about you, but I'm sure you have the sense that, you know, things come up quite severely and then you deal with them. Next time they're not so severe. Even if there's a minute bit of a difference, there is a difference. Noticing all of these changes that happen. Because it's very easy, the time that it feels the worst is when you beat yourself up for not maintaining, you're not being able to have the same experience as Madhuban when you were in Madhuban. But it's true, so much happens when we go back home. The atmosphere is different, the company is different. We have to go to work, we have to juggle with so many different things. But be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself for being in that situation. And always give yourself the chance to begin again. Baba gives us a chance to begin again. Baba says, finish. You know, we hear this aspect of past is past so much. And we're very good at telling other people about it too, right? Past is past when we give Gyan. So it's not just about past this past of 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. In fact, if you make the past this past now, what happened 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, or an hour ago, then you will not be so hard on yourself. Then you will not be beat yourself up for not maintaining the stage. And when there is, when you do feel, well, I don't feel the same, allow your mind to travel. You know when Baba says, remember the days of your childhood. Why? It's to go back to the days of innocence. Innocence of not just the physical age. A child is very innocent. And how does a child demonstrate its innocence? A child demonstrates its innocence by something happens, they cry, they want something, they cry like there's huge tears coming out of their ears, they get what they want, and then nothing, everything is okay. They still love their mum afterwards. Or brother and sister have a little quarrel, next minute it's nothing again. That's the innocence, that's the purity. And so for us to experience our innocence and purity is exactly the same. Exactly the same. No different. But since we think we're grown up, we're supposed to know so much, understand so much, we've experienced so much, or we should be big. But actually the soul, the spirit, is always innocent. Always pure. And so together with this backing, if you like, of being kind to yourself, being understanding with yourself, being loving with yourself, to create a timetable that works for you in your situation, in your circumstance. Don't try and live the Madhuban timetable in the sense that waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then driving to work, and working throughout the whole day. Doesn't work. Can't do it. I was hearing someone say today about how if you're being rigid to your own practice even, or something, without the consideration of everything else, is also a form of violence. How violent are you with yourself? Because it's only when we are being like this that it feels like, oh, I'm not experiencing the Madhuban experience anymore. Create a routine and a timetable that is sustaining you, that's nurturing you, that keeps you connected with yourself. And with Baba, and with your innocence, and with your purity, with your truth. So whether it's Amrit Vela, after Amrit Vela, you know, of course generally the best time for study is between 4 and 8. But for some of you it may not work. It may not work because you have to go to work, but then you compensate for it. Find another aspect, another time in the day where you can give time to yourself. To be kind to yourself. Here you don't have to think about being kind to yourself because everything else is being kind to you. Everyone else is being kind to you. Madhuban, Baba, Madhuban timetable, all of these things are being kind to you. When you're here. So, create a routine, a timetable. Of course, Madhuban timetable is unique when you're here. You don't have to think about cooking, you don't have to think about cleaning, you don't have to think about going shopping. Well, at least not for the groceries. Right? You don't have to think about anything. And that's not the reality when you get back home. The reality is you do have to think about all of those things when you're back home. So while you have to do all of those things, the connection is only going to be an internal one. So checking of yourself, I think an important aspect of a routine for yourself is at the end of the day, review your day. When Baba asks us to keep a chart, what does that mean? It's not about ticking all the boxes. Those days are gone, ticking boxes of charts. I think at the end of the day, it's reviewing what was the quality of my thoughts. How much was I able to invoke Baba, bring Baba to the forefront of my mind in certain situations? And okay, so I wasn't as much as I would have liked. But that's okay. At least I noticed. At least I'm conscious of the fact that it isn't as it could have been. But that's okay. Remember that our life is a journey. Our destiny is perfection, not this moment that we're living in. It's not meant to be perfect. It's not a moment of perfection. Do you see what I mean? So perfection is going, Baba says, you become karmatit at the end, and when you become karmatit, boom, it's time to go home. But we think we should be karmatit now, because we experienced that in Madhuban. But Madhuban is a taste of all of that. But Madhuban also gives me the power, gives me what would it be like, the experience of what is it like. So it's important to be able to notice all of these things. So even now, if you were to have a few moments to think about this, what would be what are the aspects that are unique about Madhuban that you're able to partake in? That you wouldn't be able to replicate when you get back home? And what would be the aspects that you could have in their place? And Baba also refers, Avyat Bhapta also refers to Madhuban as the home and countries and places where we live, service places. We go there for service. We go there to give of ourselves. And in a sense, we go there to give the experience that we've had here, there. And that doesn't have to be only in your center, at home where you live, with the people that you live with, the workplace, the people that you work with. Imagine them having a taste of Madhuban. And it's not just the food and the toli, that's definitely there. You might not be able to do that, but just in your innocent interaction, not naive interactions, innocent interactions. Interactions without any baggage, where you hold nothing against anyone and you choose love. What do you have a feeling of in Madhuban? Love. Where imagine being able to choose love in every situation when you get back home to create part of, to maintain your Madhuban experience. What you have here, to be able to do that for other people there. To choose love. And it really, it's something that I've been thinking about and exploring over the last little while. Choose love. Somebody does something that doesn't work for you, choose love. And why is it that something doesn't work for me? The negative energy that we create around us, outside of us, because we lose touch with the love that we've tasted, that we've experienced, that we've had here. We tend to look at other people and we can be very good at judging other people. These are some of the things that I'm thinking about, and that's why I'm sharing them now as part of maintaining Madhuban stage, because it's important to keep on an elevated state of consciousness. These aspects are relevant. We're so good at judging other people. That's when we lose our innocence. We judge other people and situations in order to protect ourselves. And bang, goes our innocence. Then we feel isolated, we feel disappointed, we feel hurt. Whatever the reason why someone does what they do, doesn't matter. How do I keep myself safe from other people's behaviors? All of these aspects are necessary if I am to maintain a high state of consciousness. I'll stop here if anybody has any thoughts or questions they'd like to ask. Anybody have a question? I think the microphone is coming, but in the meantime... Brother at the back.
Thank you. How can we keep the sense or feeling of belongingness at home?
Well, it's what I said. It's to do with staying pure. Staying clean, staying innocent at all times, in the sense that not to allow all the stuff that you see outside of yourself to influence you inside. I am the child of God. No, this is not a small thing. When Baba says, "You are my child." Actually, it's a very interesting thing to think about. How much do I have the child of God awareness? Or is it that all that I know, all that I've experienced, that takes over and my intellect becomes very clever? You know, when I like this notion that a child is taught by the parent to do everything. How to walk, how to talk, how to dress, how to do everything. How to eat, what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat. A child is taught everything by the parent. How much do I allow Baba to teach me everything? Recently I had this kind of, you know, one of my explorations has been that how can I keep Baba so present in my consciousness that the sense that I'm constantly in connection. And I was sitting in meditation and I had the feeling, I asked this question to Baba, how can I do this? And the instant, it was as if an answer came. And Baba said, do you listen to me? Do you hear me? And how do I hear him? I hear him through the Murli. And I started to listen to the Murli totally differently. What is he saying to me? What is he really saying? And am I listening, not just with the ears, in the sense that I hear the words, but do I hear what he's telling me to do? And the real hearing after that is when I actually attempt to live what I have heard him say to me. But I can only do that when I become a child. If I know, I don't hear. Because I'm then hearing through the filters of what I know. You know, how long? I've been 38 years in Gyan, and of course I've had these ups and down moments where I have heard Baba and then have gone down and heard Baba. But again, now, after nearly 38 years of being in Gyan and having a different meaning to hearing what Baba has to say to me. Do I listen with trust and faith? But the moment I think I know, I'm not an innocent child anymore. I know too much. And so that's why Baba says, all that you've learned, forget everything that you've learned. Forget all the scriptures. He talks about scriptures, but he doesn't just mean the scriptures. He means everything. I was speaking to someone this morning, and we were saying this whole thing that you have to be able to be so clean that you capture. You hear this voice that has no sound. You hear this cleverness of God that is without the cleverness that is crafty and cunning and manipulative. But it just is. And in that moment of just is, it is powerful. But I have to be so clean, so connected with my own purity to do that. Anyone else? No? No question. So now you all know what you're going to do when you get back home. Right? And it's true. It's just as much about my engagement as it is. Because, you know, we become, when we're body conscious, we become passive recipient of what's outside of us. And you never want to be passive recipient. And what I mean by that is anything, even in Madhuban, don't be so passive. In the sense that let it happen to you, that's passive. Engage by observing, engage by noticing, engage by realizing what's really going on. And negativity, the same thing. We're passive recipients of negativity that's around us. We sit there and let it all happen to us. But we can't afford to do that. That's why this alertness that everything I am engaging when Baba is giving me to, I'm engaging. Just the fact that I notice I'm engaging. Nothing else. You don't have to do anything else. Just notice. And that's engagement. So, don't be passive. And in body consciousness, our senses are like sponges that absorb. Just take. And you don't want to do that.
Om Shanti. So far you've been talking about the personal efforts that one has to do to maintain this atmosphere. Could you tell us a little bit about your experience at a center level when you're living in a country that is very multi-religious and politically very, you know, difficult. So how do you maintain at a collective level this kind of atmosphere?
Well, I think everything begins with personal anyway. You only maintain collectively when you pay attention personally. And that's the most important thing. And where we become affected by what's happening outside of ourselves is this very habit that we have of judging everything that we see. And when you do that, you're engaging in the negativity. When you see something outside of you that is wrong, and you're judging it for what it is, rightly or wrongly, it's irrelevant. You are engaging and you're partaking in what's really happening. So, to be able to be detached and choose love in that situation too. And that's when you're unaffected. And then you make a contribution. And then yes, this is what's really needed now. If all of us, as Brahmins, were to choose love every moment, we would create a different world very quickly. So it's that one by one. Okay, I think we have to finish soon, so one more question. Yeah.
Om Shanti, can you please have some practical tips how to perform Amrit Vela at home? Because to be honest here, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also a role as a mother of 3 teenage children,
mm-hmm.
and it can be that they go to bed when I almost
you're just waking
get
up. Well, it is true that when you're in the gathering, Amrit Vela is very easy. But when you're at home, create a space that is separate from your other things. If it's possible, even if it's a little corner in your room where you get up from your bed and sit, freshen up, do exactly what you do in Madhuban. You don't just jump out of bed and go in your nightdress to wherever it is that you go for Amrit Vela, right? You change. You freshen up. If you drink tea, you drink tea, and then you go and sit. So you have to do exactly the same when you're at home. Create a space which you can designate only for your meditations. If you have a possibility, have a little box room. We have little box rooms in England. So often people make those little box rooms their meditation room. And you go there. And alone, it's not alone. It's alone, me with Baba. And determination. Determination that I want to be here right now with Baba. And yes, definitely being alone, it's harder. But it becomes hard to begin with, but then once you get into the practice, then it becomes easier. But have a place, have a routine that you follow as if you're in Madhuban. And that's part of carrying the Madhuban experience would be that you're in Madhuban. Why should your discipline be any different to how it is when you're here? So pay attention to that discipline. And then you quickly get into meditating by yourself. If you do it one day, not another day, then you never get into the rhythm of it. But creating a rhythm is necessary. Okay. Right. I think it's time for meditation now. Thank you, everyone. I'm Shanti.